Tonight we consider the first of three Lord's Days that deal with the Lord's Supper, each addressing the Lord's Supper with its own particular spin or teaching for us to consider. And we will consider Matthew chapter 26. We'll turn there in a few moments, where Matthew records our Lord's institution of the Lord's Supper there. But if you would turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to pages 36 and 37, Lord's Day 28. Lord's Day 28. And I know that ordinarily I have us confess these answers together. With these three on the Lord's Supper, they're fairly lengthy, and not that we're not able to do it, but I thought it might be maybe more beneficial if I read them and you follow along. I would encourage you to follow along as I read both the questions and the answers. There are three questions and answers with Lord's Day 28, and the third one dealing with where Christ promises to nourish and refresh believers with His body and blood, giving the scripture passages there from 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please follow along as I read for us questions and answers 75 and 76, Lord's Day 28. Question 75, how does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all His gifts? In this way, Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. With this command, He gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely His body was offered and broken for me and His blood poured out for me on the cross. Second, as surely as I receive from the hand of Him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely He nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with His crucified body and poured out blood. Question 76, what does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink His poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing, to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so, although He is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. And we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit, as members of our body are by one soul. We turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we'll read together verses 17 through 30. 17 through 30, verses 26 through 29, being our Lord's institution of the Lord's Supper as Matthew records it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 17, as we give our attention to God's holy word. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, He reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, He said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray Me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to Him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand into the dish with Me will betray Me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of Him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray Him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.' Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.' And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. May God bless the reading and consideration of His Word to us tonight. Beloved, in Christ the Lord, it was Passion Week. It was the week of our Lord's crucifixion and death. Boys and girls, soon, at this time, soon, He would be betrayed, He would be arrested and tried and condemned and sentenced and executed cruelly upon the cross. But now, at this particular moment of which our text speaks, He was gathered one last time with His closest disciples, those who were closest to Him, His closest friends. And even though those who were closest to Him, His closest disciples, were still in the dark with regard to what was about to take place, yet the light of the world would do something. He would give them something that would bring together centuries of practice, that would, by which He would, in essence, shout out, "I am the One." And the gift that He would give to them would stay with the church throughout her history, including for you and me today, until Jesus Christ comes again. A gift by which His people, by which believers, would constantly be reminded with our eyes of what He has done, and a gift with which the Holy Spirit nourishes our faith unto greater assurance of such a great salvation, and by which He prepares us for that which is awaiting us in eternal glory. And that gift, of course, we know, is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which points to Christ given for me. Christ given for you. Christ given for all who would believe in Him. Christ given as a final sacrifice, as a timeless sacrifice, and as an effective sacrifice. It's interesting that even the very question is worded in such a way to point to this gift. How does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you? Did you catch that? That's what it does. It reminds you and me, and it assures you and me of something, of what? That you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all His gifts. But the Lord's Supper, of course, is not for everyone. Paul points that out in another place, that for those who partake, for those who do not know and understand and believe what it's all about, yet they still partake, they eat and drink judgment unto themselves. And that's why the elders have such an important task in the visible church. He gave the sacrament to the visible church, just like the sacrament of baptism is an initiatory rite into that covenant community given to the visible church. In the very same way, Christ gave this sacrament as well to the visible church. And He calls upon His church leaders to exercise carefully the administration of the sacrament, to protect and to guard the table, to protect and to guard unbelievers, that they would not come and eat and drink judgment to themselves, to make the way open for believers who give expression, who give testimony to their faith. The Lord's Supper, beloved, is for those who say yes to their baptism, for those who say yes to the promise that they were given by God in their baptism. It is for those who say, "Yes, Christ was given for me too." He was given for me, first of all, as a final sacrifice. You see, on this very occasion, with the broken bread and with the poured out wine, Jesus was symbolically focusing the eyes of His disciples on Himself, and focusing their eyes on the sacrifice of Himself that He was about to make. And in doing so, He was reminding them of the old covenant. He says, "This is my blood of the covenant." And they understood exactly what that meant. They were still, if you think about it, they were still of the Old Testament, really. They understood that covenantal language, the blood of the covenant, especially within the context in which the Lord instituted the sacrament. It was a Passover context. They had just finished eating that Passover meal, that feast that had been observed by this time once per year for over 1,500 years, observed by God's covenant people, a reminder to, even to those who lived long after those who were in Egypt, a reminder to them of the salvation of the Israelites from Egypt as their lives were spared, boys and girls, by the blood of another that had been painted on the doorframe of the houses. And as they would receive strength for the journey, eating the meat of the sacrificial lamb, and now Jesus, again, was teaching His disciples, it's all about Me. It all points to Me. The disciples understood this sacrificial language. They understood it in the context of the covenant. They understood that sacrifices were an essential part of the covenant relationship between God and His people, with the blood of the sacrifice being the signature, if you will, on the dotted line of that covenantal contract. They knew what Exodus chapter 24 said that recorded the establishment of that old covenant with blood. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. The blood of the covenant, Moses said. And now here Jesus said, this is My blood of the covenant. They understood that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. That there could be no covenantal relationship. That there could be no special relationship of friendship between God and His people. They understood the need of blood for covenant violation. For the failure to give the required obedience to God, which needed sacrifices to be offered again and again to cover in God's sight the sin of the people and to remove His wrath from them, pointing again to Jesus. To have life, another needed to be given up with its blood shed. As Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The disciples understood clearly the old covenant. They understood the sacrificial system. They understood the need for blood. And now Jesus demonstrates before their very eyes with bread and wine that He is the better way. He is the only way. He is the final sacrifice, replacing the old with the new, because His is the perfect blood. We too know that all of the Old Testament bloody sacrifices, including the yearly Passover sacrifice, they were ongoing. They were insufficient. They were promises to be sure, but they were not enough. They could not make anyone perfect. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 10 verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin, but Christ's blood, to which the blood of all of those Old Testament sacrifices, all those bulls and goats and doves and sheep and you name it, it all pointed to Him. His blood is perfect and it is acceptable to God. His is the blood of the new covenant. In our translation, Matthew doesn't use that word. Luke calls it a new covenant. Paul quotes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 11:22, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. That's what we are to understand. It is the new covenant. It is a better, it is a more lasting covenant because it rests on one foundation, not on many sacrifices, but it rests on the one foundation that can never be moved. In Hebrews 10 verse 14, the writer says, For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. His is the perfect blood. His is also the promised blood. With this covenantal language in the context of the Passover, Jesus points to Himself as the promised Messiah. He points to His own shed blood through His death as the means by which He would fulfill His purpose as the Messiah. He is pointing them to the fact that this was the time of fulfillment. With these symbols, in essence, He says, just as physical bread nourishes your body and gives your physical body strength for the physical journey, My body nourishes your faith and gives you strength for the spiritual journey. Beloved, the Lord's Supper, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, gives assurance. It gives assurance to our hearts through our eyes of Christ's final sacrifice for you and for me. Question 75 again, how does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all His gifts in this way? Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. With this command, He gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely His body was offered and broken for me and His blood poured out for me on the cross. Boys and girls, I trust you remember that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper here, I or any minister who administers that, I hold the bread up high. I try to hold it up high and I break it before your very eyes. The sense of sight is very important here. And you see me pour the juice into the cup, and sometimes I raise that container, and I don't do that just to see how high I can get it without spilling. Some of you might think that when I'm doing that. But I do that because I want even the people in the very back row to see it. It's very important to see that bread broken and that juice as it is poured. It is an important reminder for you and me that just as we see that, boys and girls, just as we see and we can tell that it's real in the very same way, it reminds us of the reality of Christ's one sacrifice for you and for me. The Lord's Supper, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, gives that assurance to our hearts through our eyes of Christ's one sacrifice, the reality of it for us. But also of the reality of no more shedding of blood. Of no more shedding of blood. If more blood needed to be shed, beloved, that would say that Christ's blood was not powerful or plentiful or pure enough to do what God required. But not only is it powerful and plentiful and pure enough, but Christ was given for you and me in the second place as a timeless sacrifice. A timeless sacrifice, yet that which was accomplished in time, in history. Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and we have now been justified by His blood. It is a timeless sacrifice accomplished in time. It is an historical event, a redemptive event. It is that which Isaiah 53 prophesied. It is that of which the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed forward to. It is that which the Lord's Supper looks back at. It actually happened. It actually happened. If it has not actually happened, we are deceived. And each and every time we come together around the Lord's table, we are being deceived and deceiving ourselves more and more. And if that's the case, then we had better get to work because we have a lot of ground to catch up on. But praise be to God, we don't have to. Number one, because we can't. And number two, because it has all been done. His is a timeless sacrifice, accomplished in time, but celebrated throughout time, because it wasn't just for the disciples on that particular night in that upper room. Luke and Paul both quote our Lord Jesus as saying, do this, as if we are to understand it, do this again and again and again. Do this in remembrance of me. Celebrate this throughout time. And Jesus said, as you do, you proclaim my death. Every time. Every faithful celebration of the Lord's Supper is a visible sermon preaching loudly of the death and the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone by which we have spiritual life. Celebrated throughout time, and as we do so, partaking of real nourishment. Well, we know that bread and wine or juice are only bread and wine or juice, but again, they point to a reality. Notice Second, in answer 75, as surely as I receive from the hand of him who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Notice, boys and girls, now again the senses of taste and touch, and we could even add smell, but sight and taste and touch, just as certainly as we can hold that bread and we could stick our finger in that little cup of juice, and just as certainly as we can feel it and smell it and taste it, just as surely as that physical bread, even though it's only a little bit here in the supper, just as surely as it nourishes our physical bodies, just as certainly the believer's faith is nourished, not by that physical bread and cup, but nourished in such a way that more and more, beloved, we become even more confident and certain of our salvation through Christ's timeless sacrifice, which is also sufficient for eternity. Again, the Catechism says, he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Now, we must confess this is a mystery. On the one hand, we might not sense that spiritual nourishment as we partake, and that becomes evident for us over time. But even at that, we have absolutely no idea how the Holy Spirit does that. But he does exactly that. He nourishes our faith with the crucified body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mystery to us, but we know that's what he does. In verse 29, Jesus said, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Again, those were hard words for the disciples at that time because that meant that Jesus' death was near, but they are triumphant words for the disciples, to be sure, but also for you and me, because that means that we, as Paul says in Romans 5, we are saved from God's eternal wrath through him. It also means that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is true. For example, in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And he says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, and we know he means there by faith, you have no life in you. It all means that his word is true. It means that he is the bread from heaven. It means that he is the food that endures for everlasting life. He is the bread that gives life to the world. He is sufficient for eternity. And it also means, beloved, that there is a great wedding banquet. That which the Bible speaks of, a great wedding banquet of the bridegroom and his bride. We have a feast of eternal joy that we look forward to when Jesus Christ gathers around himself all who belong to him. Beloved, the truth of the Lord's Supper is that Christ's death alone preserves our lives. The truth of the Lord's Supper is that his blood guarantees that we will never become covenant breakers, that those who are washed in the blood of Jesus will never become covenant breakers like Esau. Doesn't mean we will never sin. We still struggle with sin. And even then, the Lord's Supper is to remind us and assure us that our sins are forgiven for the sake of Christ Jesus. The truth of the Lord's Supper is that it is the refreshment that we need as we continue to live in a world that challenges and outright denies this truth. It is the refreshment that we need as sometimes, even as God's people, we begin to feel like maybe, just maybe, it's not true for me. But the Holy Spirit nourishes and refreshes us with the Word of God preached, first of all. And then he confirms it with the visible sermon as what can often be out of sight and then easily become out of mind. He keeps before our eyes. He keeps before our very eyes. And just as Asaph saw in the sanctuary, the altar of sacrifice, and that was such a blessed assurance to him. You and I, as we look upon the Lord's table, even this very table, it's just a table on the one hand, but it represents something so very powerful. It is to be a blessed assurance for you and for me of that which is a reality through Jesus Christ. This is the assurance that we are given as we physically see with our eyes the broken bread and the poured cup, and as we physically hold in our hands and taste with our mouths of the bread and the juice. But you see, this assurance, understand, is not just because we see and feel and taste it with our physical senses. All of this is true only because Christ has been given for you and me, thirdly, then, as an effective sacrifice. Of course, we know that seeing and feeling and tasting are nothing without true faith, apart from true faith. It's only bread. It's going to stay bread. It's only going to be juice. It's going to serve absolutely no other purpose for you and for me. It's nothing without true faith. Our text begins again, verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." When Jesus gave that command to eat and drink, it was a call to faith. It was a call to believe. In essence, he was indeed saying, partake of me and me alone by faith. Because my sacrifice is an effective sacrifice. He has accomplished what he set out to do, namely forgiveness of sins, which is ours again by faith. Question 76, what does it mean to eat, notice, not the bread and not to drink the juice, but what does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink His poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. His is an effective sacrifice, effective for the forgiveness of all of our sins. The Lord's Supper is a reminder of the cross of Jesus, a reminder of His body crucified and His blood shed, as we say, unto a complete remission of all of our sins. And that means, dear people of God, that we are delivered from the wrath of God. We are delivered from eternal death. We are given the favor of God. We are given eternal life. It means that Christ's sacrifice really, again, accomplished what He meant to accomplish. But it also means, unbelievers, beware. Unbelievers, beware. You see, the Lord's Supper is so intimately tied with what we have only by faith. Again, it is only for those with true faith and express that faith. To partake but not to believe, as Paul makes clear, is dangerous. To partake but not to believe is to blaspheme the name of God. It is to blaspheme the truth of Jesus Christ. It is to lie. Again, what does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink His poured out blood? It means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But to partake yet not to believe is to lie. Those who truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and partake in faith, they give evidence of their faith by their very action of partaking. But those who partake but do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, very simply, they lie. It is to reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbeliever, beware. And that is why it is so very important for us to sound the call to repent and believe. Oh, to the world that sounds harsh, how can you tell me that I'm horrible? How can you tell me I'm a sinner? How can you tell me I need someone like a man who died on the cross? How can you tell me that I'm going to hell? I can tell you because that's what God says. But I can also tell you that there's hope. There is a glorious hope in Christ alone. For those who look to Him in faith, who put their trust in Him, whose lives are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are filled with the joy of the Lord, which gives an immeasurable strength. And you see, beloved, it is the believer's desire to partake. It is indeed the believer's genuine desire to gather together with God's people to partake of the preached word, and when we, and especially then when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, to come together around that table, because it is a means of grace by which, through Christ's effective sacrifice, we enjoy fellowship by faith. Answer 76 goes on, it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so although He is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, and we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit as members of our body are by one soul. Because of Christ's effective sacrifice, we enjoy fellowship by faith, and that includes, first of all, being united to Christ by faith. The very same grace that God pours out upon us through the primary means of grace, the preaching of the Holy Gospel that we hear with our ears, He also pours out as we partake of the visible gospel of the Lord's Supper by faith. And this fellowship by faith also means being united to each other. We are the body of Christ as believers. We are united by one faith, one hope, by one Lord. We are those who partake together, rejoicing in that one salvation that we have in common. And that fellowship by faith also includes living unto Christ. Living unto Christ with His life Spirit flowing in us. Living unto Christ with lives transformed in such a way that the believer's life is no longer dead to sin and no longer delights in the deeds of the flesh as we remember the blood He shed. Because as we remember the blood He shed for us, beloved, God's people delight in obedience to the God who loves us. Living unto Christ with absolutely no fear that I owe God anything that is not already covered by Christ, because He left absolutely nothing undone. Living unto Christ without fear of being in bondage to trying to get right with God. But because I am right with God through Jesus Christ, beloved, I am free. I am free to give myself as a living sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, and He will accept me as imperfect as I am. He will accept me for Jesus' sake. Dear people of God, the Lord's Supper for the believer means that Christ hasn't abandoned you and me. He hasn't abandoned us. By faith, we are one with Him. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate, even at this very moment. He is with you and me every moment of every day by His Holy Spirit. The Lord's Supper for the believer also means that Christ isn't finished with you and me yet. Not only is He busy preparing a place for us at the eternal banquet table, but He is busy preparing us by His Holy Spirit to be with Him forever and ever. And therefore, this life with all of its details is to be used by us for getting ready for that day when we will feast with Him forever, not through bread and juice, but we will feast with Him forever face to face. What a gift is the Lord's Supper. Because this sacrament is God's own word that Christ was given for you and me as a final sacrifice, as a timeless sacrifice, and as an effective sacrifice. He was given for you and me as all we need for both now and forevermore. And all of God's people say, Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, indeed, O Lord, we give You thanks that You know all that we need. You know our weakness. You know that we are prone to wander. You know that it is so easy for us to walk by sight and not by faith. And that's why you have given to us the sacraments. You've given to us in a particular way that which we can see and feel through the water of baptism, and along with that to taste and to smell and to touch through the bread and the juice of the Lord's Supper. That just as these things are real and we cannot doubt it, we cannot deny it, that in the very same way Christ's sacrifice was real. It happened. And it is effective forever and ever for those who trust in Christ alone. We thank you for that blessing, the blessing of your grace. We thank you that you continue to work in our hearts and lives to strengthen us, to remind us, to assure us of that which is ours in Christ alone. In his name we pray. Amen.